I just have a few short things. I don't have very much. I have here today from Rav Toledano. Rav Mordechai Yitzchak Toledano, the Edom, the son-in-law of Rav Avadia Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. We started today Eishes Chayil. So I got curious to learn about other matters relating to women, to Nashim. What? Certainly. The Sfarim for sure say Eish Eschayil, because Eish Eschayil is a Kabbalistic minhag, and the Sfarim are much more steeped in the Kabbalah Yanim than the Ashkenazim. So I came across a few things that actually in Parashas, last week's Parashas, Tazria Mitzayra, he has a few Chidushim related to matters relating to Nashim. Okay, so here is the focus of this topic is, are women allowed, okay, you're going to really be shocked when I say this, are women allowed to come to shul, period? Forget about the mechitza issue. Let's talk about allowing a woman. What?
They say the gross, if you have any bricks left over when you build a shul, you should break out the women's section.
Who said that? The Gra?
I don't know if it's really true.
They asked Moshe Tandler, he said, women are the guests of the men.
They're the guests of the men. At home, the men are the guests, but in shul, they're a guest. So why in the world would I say something so ridiculous that shul wouldn't be allowed to come into the Beis HaKnesses? Well, it's the last pasuk, it's the third to last pasuk of last week's parasha. V'hizartem b'nei Yisrael mitum asam, v'lo yitamu es mishkoni asher ani b'socham. The Torah says very clearly that you have to do the special prohibition to enter into a makom kodesh in a state of tumah. Now the fact that we are all here today means someone gave birth to us. And when someone gives birth, I assume, we didn't come out of the ground. Right? I don't think we grew from the ground. We came from a mother's womb. And the Torah prescribes a very severe form of tumah for Leda. When a woman gives birth, she's tumah for a man 14 days, for a girl for a man seven, for a girl 14, and then the 33 and the 66 days of Tara. But you have to go to mikvah, and you have to bring a set of korbanos. So the question is, let's talk about the fact that a healthy woman is a nida every 28, 29, 30 days. So being that women are always either in a state of being a nida, and they have to go to mikvah, or they gave birth, and there's another degree of tumah which requires korbanos. You're not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash, a woman who is mechusar kippurim. It's one of the first Mishnayos in Masechta Kelim. A person mechusar kippurim, you go into the wrong year of the Beis HaMikdash, Zechiv Karis. Serious business. So one thing, he's telling me tumas meis, it's also a serious problem. But let's talk about tumah hayotze min haguf. So you'll tell me a man, there is really no tumah hayotze min haguf, tumas keri, so he can go to mikvah, tefilas ezra, to say that a man is a zov. Perhaps a man might possibly be a zov. You should know that derech agav, that's one of the very big issues why bizman hazeh, why going on the har habayis is an issue, because we are a suffix of being a zov.
No one goes on har habayis.
Even the place that's not har habayis, you're not allowed to go in the periphery. There's a shayla even. I don't know, but even there are different issues. So being that the Torah, the end of Parashas Mitzvah makes it very clear, v'hizartem es b'nei Yisrael mitumos v'lo yitamu es mishkoni asher ani shechein b'socham, do not contaminate my mishkoni, my holy place which my presence rests in. And every Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash is a Mikdash Me'at. And that we learn from this week's Parsha, Parshas Kedoshim. We learn this Mikdash Shechem. The Pasuk writes and talks about the Beis HaMikdash, Beloshen Rabim, which Chazal derived from this, that every Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash has a minor degree of Kedusha. So a woman, L'chorah, should not be allowed to enter into a Beis HaKnesses, because since most women are Tameos, Tumas Nida or Tumas Leida, they are contaminating the sanctity of the Makom Mekudosh by coming into the Beis HaKnesses. And indeed, this is something which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. This issue is discussed in Aruch Chaim. that there were such customs among certain groups of people that a woman, when she was a nida, at least when she was a nida, she was tameya, and that would automatically mean any single girl doesn't go to mikvah, would not be allowed to enter into the Beis HaKnesses, because you are contaminating, you are defiling the Kiddush of the Beis HaKnesses. Now this sounds obviously very bizarre to us, because we don't do this in our day, and the Ramah comes to the rescue and explains that it's not our custom to do this. The main thing he talks about is on Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I'm trying to find the Hadar Ramah here somewhere. Give me one moment. That we don't want to, the women will feel embarrassed if all of their friends are coming to the Beit HaKnesses on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and they are not allowed to participate. It's something which is disgraceful for them. It's embarrassing. So because of Gadol Kavod HaBriyos, in order not to bring shame upon them, we make them and we let the women come. But it's something which is not considered to be an ideal thing. So Rav Toledano comes to address the question, why is it that Bizman HaZed, this is a totally not an issue whatsoever. We it is our custom to be extremely lenient, and women are allowed to come to the Beis HaKnesses without any hesitation, without any restriction whatsoever. What happened to the laws of Shulchan Aruch? What happened to this Chazal? So he says an incredible, fascinating chiddush. He says that's why you have in every Beis HaKnesses an Ezras Noshim. And he has a long, detailed discussion of the halacha that in the Beis HaMikdash itself, did the tumah, did the kedusha extend to the roof and to the upper chambers? And his conclusion is that according to the vast majority of Rishonim, the Kedushas HaMikdash was only on ground level. The extension of the Beis HaMikdash, the upper chambers, and the roof of the Beis HaMikdash were not given the same sanctity as the Beis HaMikdash itself. And if a person, a man for that matter, was there, enters in that area in a state of Tumah, he is not Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim, he's not Chayiv Karis. All the punishments that the Torah gives a person who comes to the Mikdash in a state of Tumah do not apply to him. And he goes further to say that was why Chazal, why the Tikkun Gadol they made in the for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. For the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, there were three different stages. First, the women were on the inside, in the Ezras Nashim, and then the men were on the outside. Then they switched it. Then they put the men on the inside, the women on the outside, and then it says they came along and they made a Tikkun Gadol. And the Tikkun Gadol was, they put the women upstairs. Now, if according to the first, the original way it was done, the original technique was the women were in the Ezras Noshim, and the men were outside. The celebration on Sukkot, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, took place in the Har Habayis, and in order that women should not get in the way, they put the women inside the base in the Ezras Noshim, the area where that leads into the right before Shar Nikanor, and I guess they opened the doors and the women can see, can observe, spectators, what was taking place in the Har Habayis. That's what was taking place. Obviously, the women that were coming to participate in this celebration could not have been Anida, because a woman who's Anida is not allowed to go into the Har Habayis. And not allowed to go into the Ezras Noshim. I don't know have all the exact deals of where allowed they're not allowed to be. So the only women that participated in this celebration were women who have already brought their korbanos for Leida, and women who were not at this moment in time nidos. Because if the women were nidos and the oldos, they would be severely restricted in where they can move in the Ezras Noshim and where they can actually be. The later takana wasn't any much of a difference, because the women were then just on the outside in the Har Habayis, and the men were on the inside. But the third phase, the third takana, was a very great tikkun. Was a tikkun gadol. The tikkun gadol was it opened up the celebration even for women that were tenayos, because the tikkun gadol allowed was built. They put the women were put on an upper level. And according to many of the rishonim and achrayim who go through the sugya, the upper level of the Ezras Noshim, even on the Har Habayis, did not have the Kedusha. So if they were able to come into this area through some type of bridge, which we know there were various structures which allowed women to come in to the balcony from outside the Har HaBayis through some bridge, even women who were Yoldois and Nidois were allowed to participate and view the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. This was why it was called the Tikkun Gadol. It was greater than just the first two arrangements for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The first two arrangements, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, women were sitting at ground level. They probably had bleachers for them also, so they could see what was going on. But they were located on they were based on the ground level, either inside the Eretz Nashim or outside the Eretz Nashim. Being in this area is very problematic for a woman who's Tamea. It restricted the women which were allowed to participate. But when the women were put on an upper chamber, the upper chambers did not have that Kedusha, and therefore the restriction was less. Therefore, Avtoledanis makes the following suggestion, and he says that is why in modern times every Beis HaKnesses has an Ezras Nashim. This is something that was not commonly done in ancient times. In ancient times, women came to shul, but when they came to shul, they came to the back part of the shul. There was no separate Mokum presence in Ezras Nashim. Look at over here, like in this shul, in this room over here. Is there a special part of the room that's the Ezras Nashim? No. It's one big room, and when women come, they just roll out a temporary mechitza. It's not really a separate section. In ancient times, that's how shuls were. They built a shul for men. Women want to come once in a while to participate. They wanted, so either they would stand in the back by the door, and they just would not get in the way to be noticed, or they would put up a little curtain in the area to cordon off a little section for women to stand. But the women are entering into the main sanctuary. For a woman who is a nida or yoledes to come into the main sanctuary, which has the full kedusha, is indeed problematic. But in more recent times, we're talking about the last 200, 300 years, when you build a Beis HaKnesses, you build a separate section. It's not just one big room and you spread a curtain when it gets cut. Upstairs or on the side, it's a structural change. It is an area that's, this is miyuchid for nashim. This is ezras nashim. When that type of building is constructed, it's a given. It goes without saying that the ezras nashim is not given the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses. Al pi halacha, in order to allow a woman who is a nida or a yoledes to enter lichatchila. See,
the difference between the HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash?
Well, today we have something called a shtila. We discussed this. Okay. So today it's built al tanai, ein achanami. But that's not an ideal. Everyone will agree that a shtibel is not an ideal, because a Beis HaKnesses, the more kedusha you have, the more it enhances the kedusha of tzila. When you're coming to daven, you're coming to daven the makom kadosh, in a holy place. The more kedusha you give the makom, the more it enhances the koyach of the tzila. That's pashut. The problem is, say, we don't have a choice. Today we live a lifestyle where we have to have kedushim, and we have to use the shul as a community center. So basically today, in this 2015, Tav Shanayin Hay, every Beis HaKnesses is built on Tanai, that we're going to have a community meetings, and we're going to have a Kiddush, and we're going to have who knows what. And we have tables and chairs, and we have food. But there are still places, few and far in between, where a Beis HaKnesses is built with a full Kedusha. This is a Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to talk, even when you're not davening there. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to sleep. It's not a Beis Medrash. It's a Beis HaKnesses that has the full sanctity. Such a makom, halachically, is problematic for an Isha. We don't think of it like this because we're very lenient today, and we come out to all of the coolest Bizman HaZeh, that it's not an Ikar Adin. It's not, there's no real Kedusha Bizman HaZeh, so you don't have to be Machmer. And anyway, everything is built al Tanai, so we just ignore the whole thing. But it's still considered in halacha, after Toledano explains, to be a tremendous bidyavet. It's a pasuk in the Torah. V'izartem b'nei Yisrael mitumasim v'lo yitam wes mishkani asher ani noshochein b'soichem. A woman is a nida. A nida is a very serious matter. It's a tumah hayotze min haguf. A man doesn't have men. The man also is a balkari, but a man is not always a balkari. But a woman, it's a natural thing. Every 30 days, 29 days, is a natural thing. Tumah yaitzim and a guv, it's a serious type of tumah. It's a serious tumah. It's much more serious than the tumah She needs Zaynikim. It's much more serious than Tumas Keri, which is only one day, and is in this Tefillah for. This is a very serious type of Tumah, and it's very big problem for a woman to come to the Beis HaKnesses. So you have a Beis HaKnesses, and you have no special Makom for the Nashim, and the Nashim just improvise, they come in the back, or they come in and make a Mechitza, it's problematic. But when you build a Beis HaKnesses with a Makom Miyuchot for the Nashim and Ezra's Nashim, whether it's upstairs, whether it's on the side, whether it's in the back, and it's structurally separate from the rest of the Beis HaKnesses, it's a given. This Makom does not have that Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses to allow L'chatchilo the women to enter into that Makom. And that has another nafkamina, that men who are hanging out in the Ezra's Nashim are losing sanctity in their Tefillah. If you're in a Beis HaKnesses, and the Beis HaKnesses has an upstairs, so it has a side room, and a chamber, and you just want more room to daven, and you want to go into the Ezra's Nashim, you're davening, it's like you're davening in the house, with the window open, you can hear what's going on in the Beis HaKnesses. If you're davening in the house, and I hear, the window was open, I hear it, I'm going to emit starif to the minyan, and say Kedusha, you can do it, it works. You'll get credit for Tefillah B'Tzibur, but you're not davening in a makom of that's Kodosh. You're not davening in a makom that's, so it's a nafmina l'halach in the Beis HaKnesses that is a real Ezra's Nashim. If you're davening in the Ezra's Nashim, you should know that you're not davening in a makom that has the full sanctity of Kedusha, the same way it doesn't have the full sanctity of Kedusha to allow an Isha to enter into the Beis HaKnesses when she's in Nida, so too, that works against you that you're not in a makom that has that Kedusha. And Torah V'Das, always the Torah V'Das, there's an area in the back. It's called the Koilal room. The Koilal room. And that's not even the Koilal room. And the sort, that's the Ezra's Nashim. It's a special area. It's a structurally separate area. So it doesn't have the same Kedusha. You're learning in the base. You want to learn the Makom Kodesh. It's not the same area when you learn in the Koil Ruach. I'm not saying funny things over here, but I'm telling you what he says. So let's go to another quick idea. There's an overflow, so you have no choice. That's not right. There is
the times that women had aliyahs.
No, I don't know. Did they ever have aliyahs? The Gemara to Shulchan Aruch says it's not a kafah that's for them to lain. Okay, so they came into the Beis HaKnesses. So it had to have then been that they had an aliyah when they were not in Nida. They went to mikvah. It had to have been such a thing. Talk. That's what it has to have been. By the Simchas Beis HaShoev, the woman is coming into
today,
the.
A man is about carries. Is that a whole second?
Yeah. If a man is about her, we're makel, yes. The answer is yes. Okay, so a woman, you're touching up another very good topic. He has two shilas. He talks about the issue of a woman, hakafas.
Right.
Okay, are you allowed to let women take a Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah to do hakafas? Number two, he cites this minhag. He says it was a minhag that was done years ago, hachnosa Sefer Torah. Women also want to participate. You're not going to let them write a letter. Forget about it. That's off. But it was the minhag to mechabe them with stitching, sewing the urea onto the Atzei Chaim. Can you imagine the ceremony? You finish writing the last letter. What? That's even more. But then they would take the urea and they would stitch the urea onto. Of course, they know how to do it better than men. They know how to stitch. So this was so. So is this something that is proper for a woman to do, especially in a situation where a woman is a nida? So she's touching the Sefer Torah. So the minhag ha'olam is it's not asur. But the minhag ha'olam is to be machmir. A woman who is a nida should not touch a Sefer Torah.
They make you go to mikvah. They say before you write a letter,
Before you write the letter, they don't make you. They ask you politely. They don't make you. But even if you don't go to mikvah, you just can't write a shame. The only thing you're not allowed to do, you don't go to a mikvah, is you're not allowed to write Hashem's name. If you write Hashem, you're not going to the mikvah. It's no good. The Sefer Torah is kamat pasul. But a regular letter, you don't have to go to mikvah. Okay, today a sefer cannot sell a sefer if he doesn't go to mikvah. And if a sefer does not go to mikvah before he even writes a regular letter, he's going to have a hard time selling the Sefer Torah. I heard someone asked the shaila of sefer. He forgot to go to mikvah and he started writing, and he wrote a couple of lines. He really didn't go to mikvah. He went to one of the big, maybe went to Rav Wozner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, could be, and he asked him. So he said that nikar din is 100% kosher, but today the standard is so high, it would be misleading to sell the Sefer Torah and not tell the person that you didn't go to, that it was not written b'tahara, even though it's kosher. But that's the standard today. So you have to be careful. You shouldn't mislead someone. But going back to the Shaila, so he says that the minigal is to be machmer. He basically asks Yokesh, why is it then the minigal by men is not to be machmer? When it comes to men, a person who is a Balkari is allowed to get an aliyah, to touch a Sefer Torah, is not. So what he says is, he quotes that the Takana of Ezra was issued in two stages. The original Takana of Ezra was only for learning. That you're not allowed to learn Torah unless you go to mikvah. That was the original. Now that takana affects women as well. It affects women as well, because same way a man is not allowed to learn Torah, that includes you're not allowed to touch a Sefer Torah. If you're not in a state of Tahara, that encompasses the men and the women as well. But the davening, you can daven even if you don't go. Then he enacted a second takana, and the second takana was that you're not allowed even to daven unless the person goes to mikvah. Then it became a gezer that was too difficult. So for men, when it was the tipping point for men, they were mevatel both. The going to mikvah for davening and for learning Torah. But women, it never became an issue, because women. They never made a second gezerah for women. The second gezerah was never issued for women, so the women never came onto the bittel. So because the bittel never, the women maintained the chumrah of at least not touching a sefer Torah when they are in a state of nida. Okay, and there is one.
You know, it's actually better by women, because women will go to the mikveh, and their mikveh is a mikveh for Ezra is not the same mikveh like
well,
Asher.
No, it's not so. The mikvehs are all the same. They're all pretty much the same. The men mikvehs are 100% kosher. You don't need all the chumras. You don't need all the chumras, but today they all are built 100%.
So a woman goes to them, and when does a guy who, you know, I'm not talking to a guy who goes every day, but a regular guy who, if he'll have carry, he won't go specially to the mikveh. He'll continue, you know, until.
Okay, but women, single women don't go to mikveh. A single girl. And not every woman who, not every woman, there are women who are nidos. So if you can only have hakafas, and some are going to participate, some are not going to participate, it's going to become very quick. Now there is one I never heard this halacha. He says that a woman who's a nida is not allowed to look at a sefer Torah.
Really?
By Hagba. You ever hear this halacha?
No.
Hagba. Woman goes to shul and they do Hagba.
The Sfardim are very makbid on their own. They don't need this. They don't go to shul when they're.
Period. What?
They don't go to shul, period.
They don't go to shul. And right. That's Iker HaDin, that's what it says, Shulchan Aruch. Iker HaDin, but Noshe Didon, we're talking about Ashkenazim, they go to shul without. So the question is, why? Where's the heter? So first he explains that when you have a shul that has a structural section, separate, that's l'chatchila. There's nothing to talk about. And we're confusing our shuls with the shuls of the Chazal. Well, they didn't have this nashim. They had one big open room. When women came parts of the year, so there was no mechitza even. We know that to be a fact. A woman needed to come to shul to Birchas HaGoymel, wanted to hear her husband. So she came into shul, she stood at the back. When you go to a wedding and they daven Ma'ariv, well, there aren't women standing in the back on the side? When you go to women, yeah, let's Ma'ariv, so you're davening Ma'ariv here, and 5 feet away, the women are standing.
Yeah.
Or you go to a Shav Rachas. So where's the mechitza? So you don't have a mechitza. You know the story of the Chavetz Chaim, the Knesia Gedola. When the Knesia Gedola, he came there, there was no, the picture, the video that's floating around the internet, of the Chavetz Chaim walking into the Knesia Gedola. So the first big fight that happened at that Kesia Gedola, there were women. There were a lot of women who came, and there was no mechitza. So some people, they wanted a mechitza, so a fight broke out. Should we put up a mechitza at the Kesia Gedola? So they went to ask the Chavetz Chaim. This is all documented. The Chavetz Chaim said that a halacha? No. Al pi halacha, there is absolutely no need to have a mechitza. But if there are people, but whenever there's a davasha bekedusha and there's separation between men and women, this is a fair shugamara, tikkun gadol. And if there's even one person here that wants it, we should accommodate him. That's what he said.
You should say it separately.
So there was a delay. They were not able to start the proceedings immediately. They had to go out to a florist, and they bought plants. They bought plants to separate, to serve as some type of makeshift mechitza. Because if the Chavetz Chaim is even one person at once, then you have to accommodate it. The Siyam HaShas, see how much money they spent, they are good to spend on this mechitza? If even one person, I think 99% of the people.
With the binoculars, you couldn't see the women.
I'm assuming. I'm making an assumption. I can't say 99, but I'm making an assumption 98% of the people.
Pizza for davening,
I'm making an assumption 98% of the people.
Couldn't care less.
But the Chavetz Chaim said, they're going to see a gedola. There's no need for it, but if one person wants, you have to accommodate that person. Okay, that's what it was. Okay, now going back, so this is another halacha that a woman, this is what he brings out, that a woman, a hagba, a woman who is in nida, should not look at a Sefer Torah. It all comes from the takana of Ezra. Ezra was misaking when he was oiler from Bavel, that we have to maintain the kedusha of Torah. He put into effect two gezeros. To review these sedas. Gezera number one, a person who's not tohar is not allowed to learn Torah. But he is allowed, of course, to daven, because not everyone has access to a mikvah, so you can't go prevent the person from davening. So, you can daven, but you can't learn Torah. This was accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael, and people did not engage in the study of Torah, or women did not touch a Sefer Torah. They did not look at a Sefer Torah during Hagbah when they were in a state of impurity. Then they went to the next Madrega. They enacted that not only should you not learn Torah, you should not make a Baracha unless you go to Mikvah. That was all too much to bear for the average person. And then they said it was a gzeira she'ein roev atzibi chelom lamabo, and they took off everything. Everything was rescinded. But it was only rescinded for the men. The women, it remained where it was. Now, even though women bizman hazeh will learn without any hesitation, even though they're in nidos, one small remez zecher of this minna remains ar hayom hazeh, at least according to what it says here, is that a woman who is in nidos should not look at a sefer Torah. And no one knows what she's doing. It's not embarrassing if she's in the Beis HaKnesses and they're doing hagba. No one knows what you're looking at. You look down like by Brichas Kehanim. You look at the Kehanim, so you don't look at a sefer Torah. Now, then he goes, this I found the reason just to try to conclude with Sriya Soimer. Why doesn't a woman make a bracha on counting her cycle of nida, just like you make a bracha for Sfirah Sa'imer? Just like we make a bracha, if we make everything that we count Sfira, today is 24 days, and they make a bracha, Asher Kedushanu, Bim says Sfirah Sa'imer, so a woman who is in nida should make a bracha every single night. Today is the first day.
To the mikveh, and she makes the bracha on the tefillah.
Not the tefillah, the counting. A woman who is in nida has to count Zayin Nikiyim.
The Sofra Law.
The Sofra Law. There's also a mitzvah to count the Zayin Nikiyim.
He has to count, but the counting is not a
it's not a counting, the Dibur Enachnaim, but why didn't Chazal enhance the Chazal, it's such a strong question, but why didn't Chazal enhance her mitzvah of going to the mikveh by requiring her to count
just
every
like
single night?
What? Just like they don't want her to daven b'shas.
Oh, very good. That's one of the answers. So this is a good question. Why didn't Chazal require her to make a bracha every day of the seven nikim? So the simplest answer is because it's not under her control. At any one of the 7 days, she can become a nida again. She can cancel her cycle if she sees blood. So if she sees dam, the whole thing is canceled. It's not. When it comes to Sfiras Oimer, who's stopping you from counting? It's not. It's within your power to count all 49 days. It comes to Nida, it's not in her power to make sure she counts. It'll be like a bracha levatola. She'll count 3 days. Bang. Now she's a Nida once again, so she has to cancel the counting. So in one instance. But others want to say exactly what you said. The Chazal did not want to institute a bracha. It's one thing that Bizman Hazeh, women were not makbid on these chumers, so the women can daven, they can go to the Beis HaKnesses, they can do whatever they want. And there are even some women that will touch a Sefer Torah when they're in Nida as well. This is not halacha that's etched in stone, that a woman who's in Nida may not touch a Sefer Torah. It's a minuk. It's not halacha. But for Chazal to go lichatchila and to make a halacha that she should make a bracha bedafka during the time that she's in Nida, that you don't do. Chazal don't go, A woman who's a neder really shouldn't be any brachas. Because of the Kiddush. Of course she does. We don't do this as Man Azed. But in the time of Ezra, it's not would be so pasha when according to the full takeif of this halacha to say Hashem's name in the state of Tumah. We don't do this. But for Chazal to institute that bracha should be said specifically during a time when a woman is in the intense moment of Tumah, Chazal are not going to do that. You don't do such a thing. That's not something that you possibly do. Even to make the bracha, when does a woman make a bracha when she goes to mikveh? Even though every halach you make the bracha before you do the mitzvah, but when it comes to tefillah b'mikvah, it's done afterwards. Because l'chatchila you should make the bracha when you're in a state of tahara. So to make a 7 brachas of the zayin nikiyim when she's in a state of tumah, that you're not going to do. And some want to extend this even a little step further. Pesach sheni. Pesach sheni, is it a yom tif or not? Do you say Tachlim on Pesach Sheni? So licha, we all know that we don't say Pesach, but not everyone agrees. Some hold that Pesach Sheni is not a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov for Tanaim. You don't make a celebration over a situation that has been established for people who are in a state of Tumah. There are people who are B'derech Rechoika in Achnai, but since Pesach Sheni also includes a category, a significant category of people who are Tanaim, you're going to celebrate Tumah. You're going to celebrate Tumah by not saying Tachanan Pesach Sheni. You're going to make a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov for Tanaim. Let's not get carried away here. Just like Chazal did not make a woman make a bracha during her sphere, during the time of Tumah, it's not something to be proud about. Pesach Sheni is not something to be proud about. So you
only those people who are eating a Pesach Sheni because of Tumah, only they should make a bracha. What bracha they make? I don't know. They don't make a matzah. Do they make a
No, of course not. Okay, well, that will stop.